Hello and welcome to Palace Intrigue. I am your host, Mark Francis. The Sydney Morning Herald took a close look at the Queen's final days. The death of the Queen's beloved dog, Candy, was a huge blow to her fragile state during the final months of her life at Balmoral. The loss of the 18-year-old Dorgie occurred shortly after she left Windsor on July 22nd for her annual summer holiday at her Scottish Highlands estate. We'll come back to that. But even 2 days before her death, there was no immediate alarm about the Queen's condition, although she was clearly tired after the exertions of receiving two prime ministers. A doctor and nursing staff were kept close by throughout her stay at Balmoral, and she was receiving regular medical attention. The next day, Princess Anne, Princess Royal, arrived back at Balmoral to be by her mother's side after she had been sailing off the coast of northern Scotland. The Queen was placed under medical supervision and forced to pull out of a video call with her Privy Council later that day. A source who knew the Queen told The Times that after this work had been completed, the Queen was ready to let go. The source said, "I think she felt with the change of Prime Minister, she had finished tidying everything up, as she had been doing, and then simply let go." On that day, Jenna Bush Hager was preparing to speak with Camilla for a podcast about her book club before a commotion outside. Bush told Today, "We were setting up the interview at 12:30 p.m. We heard running up and down the halls, and it was her team and his team. They came in and said, 'Can you please be quiet? There's a call. Charles is on a call.' All of a sudden, we heard a helicopter, which they don't take lightly, go off, and they came in and said, 'Your interview, which up until then we knew they were excited about, has been postponed.'" Richard Kay, the editor-at-large for the Daily Mail, said the Queen's physical decline had not made her last weeks easier. She struggled to stand and walk, especially up and down stairs, and she was eating sparingly. She had asked that many of the traditions of a Balmoral summer should continue, even though she could not join in as she once did, particularly the walks and the picnics. She reportedly found it harder to do her regular newspaper crossword puzzle. Kay wrote that she found her final days in her beloved Highlands so consoling after the sadness of losing Candy, but she surprised her close aides by the fact she wanted her most loyal of companions to be buried at Windsor Castle, against her tradition of burying her pets where they die. Kay wrote, "Normally the Queen herself oversees the burials, accompanied by her head gardener, later a headstone engraved with the dog's name, date of birth and death, and a suitable epitaph is put up. But on the death of Candy, she arranged for the dog's remains to be flown to London and transferred to Windsor." So unexpected was her decision that her close domestic staff saw it as a sign that the Queen had every intention of being back in Windsor at the end of the holiday to supervise the placing of the headstone herself. However, the Queen became frailer during late August and doctors carried out regular checkups. Charles reportedly made daily visits. Reverend Lane Greenshields from the Church of Scotland dined with her on Saturday and again on Sunday lunchtime. He said she was in good spirits and engaging company and was absolutely on the ball. She was talking about her past, her love for Balmoral, her father, her mother, Prince Philip, horses, very much engaged with what was happening in the church and what was happening in the nation too. John Warren, her trusted bloodstock and racing advisor, spent the final weekend at the estate discussing her horses. "I left her on Monday afternoon. The Prime Ministers were coming in on Tuesday, and she had a winner on the Tuesday. She was in such a healthy state of mind and in tremendous form. It's very important to know that she was absolutely wonderfully switched on." Katie Nicholl, out on her book tour, added, "The Queen had instructed them not to move Philip's coffin from the Royal Vault into the Memorial Chapel, where they are both now buried, because she knew that she wouldn't be long after, and she wanted them to go together." CTV wonders if it is time to return the crown jewels. They write, "The diamonds have a dubious history. They were discovered in a mine in 1905 and were swiftly bought by South Africa's Transvaal government, which was controlled by the British at the time, and then presented to the then monarch, King Edward VII, as a birthday gift. Many say that the mining networks at that time were illegal because of colonial rule. The British appropriated the mine and stole lands that belonged to local people. The royal family, in effect, received a diamond that was stolen in the first place, and now it is time for it to be returned." Palace Intrigue will be right back. Deadline took a look at the showbiz of it all. Peter Bart writes, "The TV ratings were celestial, the crowds unprecedented, and the media downright reverential. So, in purely show business terms, the British monarchy's new boss, King Charles III, should feel thrilled for having survived an historic week. Hollywood's applause, to be sure, was more reserved. If the monarchy were a subsidiary of a Disney or a Warner Brothers Discovery, the king would likely find himself summoned this week to urgent meetings. Charles III needs charisma training, and so does his supporting cast. The royal family's bottom line desperately needs new revenue streams. Fragile ties with global allies and affiliates must be strengthened to fortify the Commonwealth's economic leverage. In short, the multi-billion dollar firm is in sufficiently dire shape so that if controlled by Hollywood, swarms of consultants would already be crawling all over the castle. All the castles. If it costs at least $2,000 to tour Disneyland for a day, even with a so-called magic key, by comparison, royal shows cost bubkus, comments one Hollywood theme park executive. Big Ben doesn't know from TikTok. Royalty TV co-founder Nick Bullen was kinder. I think the king has been remarkable. His speech to the nation was impeccable. It was absolutely pitch perfect. And you know the way the rest of the royal family operated throughout this whole period has been nothing short of a masterclass in how to exemplify the Queen's work in terms of duty and service. I've been lucky enough to work with the King on many occasions and to spend significant amounts of time with him, but there was a moment where we were making a documentary about the 40th anniversary of the Prince's Trust. This has been his life's work as the Prince of Wales, and he's made a huge difference to the disadvantaged youngsters here in the UK and across the globe. As he was getting older, he wanted to know how he could connect with a younger audience, and he wanted this documentary to do that. He spoke to me about presenters that we could bring in, ones that would appeal to a younger generation, and he was so knowledgeable about who we should go after and why. As I listened to him, I thought to myself, wow, this guy is so switched on. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows how to reach an audience, how to engage with a younger generation. Remember, he was probably in his mid-60s at the time. He was very much the same on the many occasions we worked together, but it was at that very moment where I first spotted his understanding of how to reach people and what he needed to do to make that happen, and I think you saw it very much in his first speech as king. He is dedicated to his family, to duty and service, and he wants to have an impact on the world stage. And there you have it. If you'd like to email us, our address is thepalaceintrigue@gmail.com. Please check out our other show called The Shows We Watched. It's a light, fun, entertaining, nostalgic look at your favorite TV shows. It's called The Shows We Watched, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Francis. My thanks to John McDermott. This is Palace Intrigue, and good times.